ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Hare Krishna, welcome all of you for today's discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Canto 5, Chapter 24, titled as The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. We are reading from verse 25. It's a prose, so I'll just read it. Yasyanu dasyam evasmat pitamaha kila vavre natusva pitryam yad उताकुतो भयं पदं दीयमानं भगवतः परम इति भगवतोत्परते खलु स्वपितरि वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन यस्य ऑफ हूम द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड अनुदास्यं द सर्विस एव सर्टनली Asmat, our Pitamahah, grandfather, Kila, indeed, Vavre, accepted, Na, not, Tu, but, Sva, own, Pitryam, paternal property, Yat, which, Uta, certainly, Akutah Bhayam, fearlessness, padam, position, diyamanam, being offered, bhagavatah, than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, param, other, iti, thus, bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uparate, when killed, khalu, indeed, swapitari, his own father. Translation, Bali Maharaja said, my grandfather Prahlada Maharaja is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlada's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimha Deva wanted to offer Prahlada his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlada accepted neither liberation and material opulence. Prahlada Maharaja accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. And therefore, such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, indeed of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlada Maharaja simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that an unalloyed devotee should consider himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. Gopi Bartahu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. In Vaishnava philosophy, One should not even become a direct servant. Prahlada Maharaja was offered all the blessings of an opulent position in the material world and even the liberation of merging into Brahman, but he refused all of this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bali Maharaja said that because his grandfather, Prahlada Maharaja, had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he truly understood his self-interest. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yontah Pravishya Mama Vacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeeva Yatyakhila Shakti Dharasvadhamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravanatva Gadin Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. So Hare Krishna. So we are studying the subterranean heavenly planets, and we also know that this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is quite intimidating in one sense, because it's got a lot of technical details and it talks about creation. But time and again we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, the main theme of Bhagavatam actually is always focused on, which is devotional service to Krishna. And therefore, Vedavyasa actually brings in this case, we are talking of Prasatala planets, and here he has brought out the episode of Mahabali. Mahabali, actually we see this in the 8th canto as well in detail, but a glimpse of that is given in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And yesterday was a beautiful class by His Grace Gopavrindesh Prabhu. So I thought we will continue a little bit meditation further on Vamandev, because this is a very interesting episode of very interesting incarnation of the Supreme Lord, actually. Vamana, Lord Vamana is called by many names. He's also, we know Vamandev and Trivikrama, but he's also called as Urukrama, and he's also called as Balimardana. So there are so many other names that Vamandev is given. Upendra is the younger brother of Indra. So a lot of names are given to Vamandev, and there is Ashtottara also, which is revered and sung for Vamandev's incarnation. It's a very important incarnation, especially in the daily practices, a spiritual practice of the Brahmanas also. In this incarnation, the Lord was a Brahmachari. He comes as a Brahmachari, a new Brahmachari, right? He comes with an umbrella and a chilajina, which is the deer skin. And he comes with a kamandalu and a begging bowl. Interestingly, the previous four incarnations, which were the previous four incarnations? Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nrsimha. So if you see, the previous four incarnations were something to do with Pashun, which is animals, like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha and Nrsimha. But apart from Matsya, Matsya occurred twice. Matsya's incarnation happens twice. But apart from Matsya, all the other three incarnations, and even after Vamana, which is Parashurama, Rama, Krishna, Kalki, they are all to do with annihilation of the enemies. They'll come and, you know, only fighting happens. And Nrsimha Deva, though it was, and Varaha Deva, there was fight. So this incarnation, actually there is no fight. There is no fight. He doesn't bring his weapons. See, quite interesting. Although he is called Yajna Isha, here he is called Yajna Yachaka. He comes to beg. So he is coming with arms open. You give me. Usually he comes in slashes. But it's a very interesting incarnation here. And how this happened is, now Vamadeva is the son of Aditya and Kashyapasuta. He is called Kashyapamuni. Now Brahma's son is Marichi. Marichi's son is Kashyapa. And Kashyapa marries the 60 daughters. And among the 60 daughters, two daughters are very significant, which is Aditi and Diti. It's very interesting because in the 8th canto, Aditi is glorified, and Aditi is serving Kashyapa Muni. She is serving Kashyapa Muni, and she prays to her husband to request for a good son. And then when she prays like this, she begets Lord Indra. So first she gets Indra, and then follows all of the devatas, the 33 crore devatas. All are sons and daughters of Aditi Devi. That's why she's called as Deva Mata. Aditi, Diti means bound by. Aditi means which is boundless. So that's Aditi means boundless. So she becomes the Deva Mata. How is 33 crore gods? Always we mention 33 crore, or 1 crore is 10 million. Actually, there are 33 devatas, and then each devata has 1 crore followers. So in that sense, 33. Who are they? They are the 11 Rudras, Dwadashaditya. Dwadashaditya means 12 Adityas. Sun is one of them. So 12 Adityas, Ekadasha Rudras, Ashtavasus. How many? 11 plus 12 plus 2. 11 plus 12 plus 8. 11 plus 12 plus 8 is? Huh? 31. Isn't it? 11 Rudras, 33. And then you have 23, 8 Vasus, and then 2 Ashwini Kumaras. That's why we have two nostrils, Ashwini Kumaras, Ashwini Devatas. So 33. And each have 1 crore followers. So therefore 33 Devatas, 33 crore. That's how the 33 crore comes in one sense. And then Diti gives birth to the demons. You know, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and all the followers of the demons. Now that's the Asuric lineage. And talking of Mahabali, the lineage is Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, Virochana, and now Mahabali. So Hiranyakashipu is the great grandfather of Mahabali. Now what had happened? Mahabali was defeated already by Indra using his Vajrayudha, right? He's already killed, and then due to the help of Narada Muni and Shukacharya, he's actually resurrected back again. And then he begs Shukracharya, what should I do to regain my power? So then he advises a particular yajna. He does the yajna and regains back the heavenly planets. And then the demigods don't have a place to reside. And it is then when Aditi Mata actually approaches Kashyapamuni. And Kashyapamuni, you know, these are saints. So they go into trance for months and years together. They don't wake up. So they just are immersed in trance. So when this is all in 8th canto actually. So now again Aditi approaches. Now she is troubled. She is troubled because all her children, who is demigods or devatas, have been bereft of their place. So she approaches Kashyapamuni. And Kashyapamuni, you know, when they meet, generally when we pick up the phone, we always talk bad news. We also see in the first canto, when Arjuna comes back to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj, he doesn't talk about the bad news immediately. He talks all the news of the world, and then he presents his stuff. In the same way, Kashyapamuni and Aditi do not discuss the problem. The problem is, Aditi has come with the problem that my children are bereft of the heavenly planets. So the culture is kept up. They talk about the world, what is happening, and then Kashyapa Muni says, by any chance, was there any inauspiciousness that happened? Are you all taking care of your duties properly? Are you all doing your fires? Are you doing your fire sacrifices properly? And after that, after all of that discussions, Aditi presents her predicament that my sons, then he says, are my children doing good? Now, it's quite interesting because Kashyapa Muni is the father of both Suras and Asuras. So he has to ask the well-being of the demons also. So he says, are my children doing well? Now Aditi only owns the demigods. So she says, some are good, but mine are not well. Because the Aditi's children are good, my children are not doing well. So now you see the contrast between Dhritarashtra asking, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, Pandavas Chaiva, my children and Pandavas, although they are his own children, brother's child. But here Kashyapa Muni doesn't do that. But Aditi says, some are good. She doesn't say, some are good, but my children are suffering. So it's quite contrast. And then Aditi presents the predicament that the Asuras have taken over and under the jurisdiction of Bali Maharaj. And that is when Kashyapa Muni presents the Payovratam. You all heard that, Payovratam. Payo means milk. So he advises her to do a vow of 12 days. Which has to be broken on the 12th day, which is Dvadasha. The 12th day, the vow has to be broken. Payovratam means to do everything with milk. To only have milk, to do Abhishekam with milk, to do worship with milk, to only consume milk and not take anything else. It's only milk everywhere. 12 days of Payovratam. And then he says, this arrangement is the arrangement of the Lord, so only the Lord can find a solution. But for now, you perform this 12 days of vratam, payo vratam. So he says, Savidhasyati te kaman harir dinanu kampanaha amogha bhagavat bhaktir netareti matirmama. So like saying like this, Kashyapa finishes to say, now you do your vrata, now you do your milk fast and whatever, and then we'll leave it to the Lord and we'll see what happens. What's interesting is when Kashyapa Muni advises Aditi to do the Payovrata, he mentions a few things that she has to do. The first thing she has to do is do Bhuvaraha. You have to go and use the clay that the boar incarnation has dug out. So he advises her to worship the Bhudevi and the Varahadev, the boar incarnation. And again, this incarnation of Bhuvaraha, that's why we always call him Bhuvaraha. See, we have to take the consort's name before the Lord's name. So we can't say Varaha, we have to say Bhuvaraha. That's why you see Bhuvaraha temples everywhere. Bhu is Bhumidevi, which is the second consort of the Lord, the Bhudevi. Time and again, the significance of Varahadev also comes in terms of any sacrifice being performed. Why is that? We see in the third canto, Varahadev is sacrifice personified. His hair, but Varahadev is a boar incarnation, but he's a transcendental boar. His hair is actually the Yagnopavita, the Darbha grass. And the water that he sprinkles is actually the water that is sprinkled after the Charanamrita. So actually the boar incarnation of the Lord is the personification of sacrifice. So therefore, any sacrifice that has to be performed, Varahadev has to be worshipped. So therefore, Kashyapa Muni advises her to worship Varahadev also in there. And what's interesting is this culture is even today practiced in all the sampradayas. Worshipping of Varahadev, worshipping of Vamandev. Though therefore, these two incarnations along with Rama and Krishna are worshipped. And that is also worshipped by the sannyasis in the syllable Om. So Om has Varaha, Narasimha, Rama and Krishna. After all of this, Aditi Mata finishes her Payovratam and the Lord appears before her. So why I am mentioning this is, the Lord incarnating as Vamandev is already predicted before he even enters the womb of Aditi Mata. So it's quite interesting. So there are three prayers that Aditi Mata prays. So after the Lord appears, once she finishes her vrata, the Lord appears and then she presents three prayers to the Lord. Now why three? You have to understand. So the story of three starts from there. She presents three prayers. The first prayer, beautiful prayers it is. I'll just read the first prayer.
श्री अदिति रुवाचा यज्ञेश यज्ञ पुरुषाच्युत तीर्थपाद तीर्थश्रव श्रवण मंगल नामधेय आपन्न लोक वृजिनोपशमोदयाद्य शम्नः क्रीडीश भगवन्नसि दीननाथः.
She addresses the Lord as Yagnesha, Yagna, Purusha, Achyuta Tirthapada. First of all, she has offered, now this is the mystery here, the Bhagavatam reveals the mystery slowly. She offered three prayers. She first addresses the Lord as Yagna Isha. What does Yagna Isha mean? Yagna Isha means the Lord of the sacrifice. Lord of the sacrifice. Yagna means the Lord, and Yagna means the sacrifice has to be done to please the Lord. And then she addresses Vamandev, so the Lord as Yagna Purusha. Yagna Purusha means the enjoyer of the sacrifices. He is also the performer in one sense. So he is the Yagna, he is the sacrifice, and he is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. See, Prabhupada translates this as Purusha means enjoyer. Purusha doesn't mean male, Purusha means Pura Isha Iti Purusha. Every jiva in this living body is called as Purusha. So Yagna Purusha, he is the Purusha. And then she addresses the Lord as Tirthapada. It's quite interesting. Tirthapada means at whose lotus feet stand all the holy places of pilgrimage. See, what's interesting is when the Lord descends to this material creation, he fulfills multiple tasks. And we also know that he also brought the Ganges into this material world. So all holy activities started because the Lord punctured the Viraja river, and then the Ganges started to flow. So therefore she is addressing the Lord as Tirtha Pada already, that your Pada will be worshipped because you are holy and you will be actually doing that. So Tirtha Pada. And then she also addresses Tirtha Shravaha. Tirtha Shrava Prabhupada translates as celebrated as the ultimate shelter of all saintly persons. Tirtha Shravaha. So we know when Vamandev punctured the universe and brought Ganges down, what happened? First saint person who collected the water was Brahmadev. Brahmadev collected the water in his kamandalu. So Tirtha Shravaha, Shravana Mangala Namadheya. Your names are very auspicious. Now what is the connection between Vamandev and invoking auspiciousness? When we do worship, probably when you do Achaman, you will know. When you do Achaman, or when you put Tilaka, you know, Keshavayanama, Madhavayanama, Narayanayanama, Govindayanama, Vishnavayanama, and then Trivikrama, Vishnavayanama, Trivikramayanama, Vamanayanama, Sridharayanama, Rishikeshayanama. Vamana is here on the left side. And similarly, when you do Achaman, you do Vamanaya, Om Namo Vamanaya, Om Trivikramaya. So you do the right ear and the left ear when you do the detailed achana. So your names are Shravana Mangala Namadheya. So you will purify our existence by taking your names, Vamana. Apanna Loka Vrijinopashamodya Adya. So see, Aditi is glorifying the Lord with all of these adjectives, and somehow she is hinting that you will be incarnating as Vamandev in my... I'll be carrying you in my, you know, in my womb. So all these prayers Aditi has already prayed, and you will see Bhishma Dev repeating it after that. Bhishma Dev will repeat, and then many other Brahmanas will repeat these prayers of Aditi Mata, because she is Deva Mata. So of course all the Devata's prayers should come from the mother. So mother is Aditi. So therefore all these prayers, her prayers are the root for all the prayers of the demigods later in Srimad Bhagavatam. The second prayer, she's already given a hint of Vamandev in the first. The second prayer is Vishvaya Vishvaya Vishva Bhavana Sthiti Samyamaya Svairam Grihita Purushakti Gunaya Bhumne Swasthaya Shashvadupa Brimhita Purna Bodha Vyapadi Tatma Tamase Haraye Namaste. So she prayed to him as Vishvaya Vishvabhavana Sthiti Samyamaya. I'll tell you why these are all important when we actually talk of when Vamandev comes and begs to Mahabali. Vishwa means unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is actually the entire universe. Who copied this shloka? Bhishmadev copied this shloka. When? Vishvam Vishnurva Shakaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Vishnu Sahasranama. The first verse of Vishnu Sahasranama, Vishvam. Vishvam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Bhrin Bhuta Budbhavo. We say, no, Vishvam Vishvaya Vishva Bhavana Sthiti Samyamaya means you are the entire universe. That means you are everywhere. You have expanded this here as the entire universe. And we also see Vamandeva expands. See, that's why there is a clue here. And then she also says in the next verse, Ayuh param vapurabhishtam atulya lakshmer dyobhu rasah sakala yoga gunastri vargah jnanam cha kevalam ananta bhavanti tushtat tvatto nrinam kimus sapatna jayadhirashihi. Here in this verse she says dyobhu rasah sakala yoga gunastri vargah. Dyo means the upper planetary systems. Bhu means the middle planetary systems, and Rasaha. So, you give us any body that we like and we can take birth in any of the three planetary systems. It's only because of your mercy. But your body is beyond all of these creations. So, therefore, Lord Vamandev covered all the three planetary systems in two steps. You know, once he covered the Bhumi and then the upper planetary systems. So, she is giving already the clue. But what happens here is very interesting. This is why Prabhupada, I was thinking, why does, see this verse when Bali Maharaj speaks, Bali Maharaj is speaking about Prahlad Maharaj, saying Prahlad Maharaj knows the self. But Prabhupada's purport takes us to a different perspective. He takes us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gopi Bharata Kamalayor. Why is Prabhupada taking us that you have to become a devotee's devotee or a servant of a servant? Because here, of course, Bali Maharaj is addressing his grandfather. So, what is the connection? The connection is here. The connection is, when Aditi Mata prays, she has completed her vow. The Lord has appeared. She has prayed to the Lord. The Lord says, I cannot do anything. The Lord says, I can't do anything. Sorry, I know why you have prayed. You have prayed to save your children, the demigods. But I can't do it. I can't help it. Why? Because the Asuras are protected by Prahlad Maharaj and the Brahmanas. Because they have got the blessings from Prahlad, and Prahlad is my devotee. So I can't go against my devotee there. So you are also my devotee. So this is a dilemma of the Lord. Always problem for the Lord. You know, always how to solve this. Then he says, I cannot win with Bali Maharaj. Because I cannot defeat him. Because he has the kavacha of the blessings. He has the protection of my devotee. So if my devotee has blessed, I cannot go against, even I'm because aham bhakta paradhina. I am the servant of my devotee, so I cannot go against it. So I cannot do it. So then she says, no, how can you say that, my dear Lord? I have fulfilled the vow. You have to give me something. You have to protect me. And then the Lord says, okay, let me think of it. I cannot win him with straight, you know, straight go and defeat him. I have to win him with cheating. Deceit. You know? He's the master of deceit. He's the master of cheat. So I will not go as Isha, I will go as a beggar. So by begging I will take, not by killing, but by begging I will defeat Mahabali. Because by might I cannot. And what's interesting is, and then he says, I will enter your womb as your son. That's when he agrees to enter as Vamandev. And then as Upendra, as your younger child, younger to Upendra, on Indra. And then he enters. And when he enters the womb, Brahmadev comes. And Brahmadev, when he is in the womb, he offers. Lord has not appeared yet. Again, Brahmadev offers three prayers. So this question of three is important. Because in the previous verse, we saw Aditi Mataji prayed three verses. And she also says, Trivargaha, Dyobhu Rasaha, Trivargaha, Atulya Lakshmi. And then here also Brahma is offering three prayers. And in the three prayers, the first prayer he offers, Jayorugaya Bhagavan Urukrama Namostute Namo Brahmanya Devaya Trigunaya Namo Namaha. Urukrama Namostute. The Brahmaji is already addressing the Lord as Urukrama. Therefore he greets the word Urukrama also. So again he's offered three prayers. Now why only three prayers? We will see what is the connection of three steps that Vamandev takes. Then the Lord appears on the, you know, he appears, it's called as Vaman Dwadasi. On the Vijaya Dwadasi he appears, because she did the 12-day Vrat. He's appeared. And then, you know, when he appears, he grows very quickly. He becomes a Vatu. And then he is done the Upanayana Samskara. All of them, you know, the Surya Deva gives him the Gayatri Mantra. And then everybody gives what they can give. Lakshmiji also has to give something. No? So Lakshmiji is residing in the heart. So the Lord says, Lakshmiji, I have to go as a Brahmachari. So please you get down. I can't carry you. I'm a Brahmachari. A Brahmachari, I can't carry Lakshmiji in the heart. And I cannot become false Brahmachari. No? So Lakshmiji says, I cannot get out of your heart. You do whatever you want to. So there is another problem for the Lord. So he is asking the Lakshmiji to get down. She can't get down. So then she says, she gifts Chailajanam. Chailajanam means the deer skin. There are two asanas on which the saints used to pray. One is Chailajanam, one is Vyagrajanam. Vyagrajanam is the tiger skin. You've seen Shankaracharya's post photos. They sit and meditate on Vyagrajanam, the tiger skin. Tiger skin is preferably for people who are very serious about their brahmacharya vow. Because there are certain vibrations, there is a science behind it. And they don't kill the tigers for that. They take a skin of a tiger which is dead. And then Chailajanam is preferably for grihasthas, people who can enter into grihastha. Therefore, the Lord uses Chailajanam, which is the deer skin. And even if you go to traditional families, you will see, they will have Chailajanam in their houses. Deer skin. So, he carries the deer skin, but the deer skin is kind of facing towards him. It's very interesting. If you see the portrait of Vamandev, Chailajanam, the Lakshmiji says, I'll come to you not from the heart, but as the gift that I've given you. So, the deer skin is actually Lakshmiji. But the deer skin is facing towards him. It's quite interesting. Why? Because if she faces Bali Maharaj, then he will get all the wealth. So, he has to now get the wealth out, right? Because Lakshmi Kripa Kataksha will happen. So therefore she has to see the Lord. Now you don't see my devotee. You face towards me and then I will go and beg. Because when you are begging, because Aditi Mata has already said, the previous verse she had called him Atulya Lakshmir. Your immeasurable Lakshmi, right? Now therefore I have to be clever. So the Lord is facing, Lakshmiji is facing him and then he goes and begs. So that's how he appears. So then the Lord, after all of this, finally the last donation is given by Kubera. What does Kubera give? A begging bowl. Kubera gives a begging bowl to the Brahmachari and then Brahmachari goes and takes Diksha. You know, you read that, right? And where does he go for his first Diksha? He goes to Parvati Devi. That's why she's called Annapurneshwari. So his first Diksha comes from Parvati Devi. And then like that he goes on and then he enters then the arena of Bali Maharaj. He enters. The last thing that they give is the umbrella. Actually, umbrella will be given when they do Kashi Yatra. If you really go to the Upanayana Samskaram or when they get married. The Brahmachari doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a bed. He doesn't have an umbrella. He doesn't have slippers. Nothing. But all of this is given to him to attract him into Grihastha Ashram. So, they are giving some comforts to him. Okay, now you come back. And you know, in weddings, they always enact this pastime. That you come back from Kashi Yatra and then get married to my sister or something like that. The brother is sent. So here he enters Bali Maharaj arena and you know the effulgence of the Lord is so much that Maharaj Bali is now attracted towards this little dwarf Brahman. And again there is a catch here. He appears as a very short Brahman and that is also a catch. He doesn't come as a normal Brahman. He is appearing as a dwarf Brahman. Why? Because to delude Maharaj Bali. Because Bali thinks that he's a small tiny guy, so I can give him anything because he's still on the air that he's won his victory, he's victorious now on the Devatas. So he comes as Yachaka, he begs, and we know he begs. First of all, he says, what do you want? Balivara says, what do you want? And he says, I want three steps, but he puts a catch. The catch is my steps. He doesn't say your steps. He says my three steps I want. That's when Bali Maharaj couldn't understand. I'm a Chakravarti. You have come to me and asking three steps. I can give you anything. And that to your steps. You are so short. And your steps is probably 3 feet. So why are you asking such low requirement from yourself? So this is how the Lord is deluding him slowly. To think. And then all the story happens. And then he begs and he expands. And Trivikrama. Now after all of this. One may understand, one may think, this episode is explained in the Rasat, in this canto. Why is this even mentioned in this canto? Why is this even mentioned in this canto? What is that that is going on between the Lord and his Mahajan and devotee? Actually, if you see the contrast between Mahabharat, Kurukshetra, Arjuna is bewildered and he is asking questions to the Lord. He is asking doubts. I have a doubt, and there is a whole Bhagavad Gita spoken. But here, Bali Maharaj doesn't have a doubt. He doesn't have any doubts. So in there was an Acharya and a student speaking. But here there are two PhD. You know, one is the Lord, and the Bali Maharaj is like PhD. He's a PhD graduate. He's asking, and he's giving. Despite his Guru Maharaj saying, don't give. What's interesting is, Aditi Mata has prayed three prayers. Brahmaji has prayed three prayers. Shukracharya also says that this person is going to snatch everything from you. Shukracharya knows that. And still, despite all of that, Maharaj Bali goes and says, if Vishnu has come to take it, then I better give away everything. So that means he knew, and yet he gave away everything. So that's the beauty of it. And why does Vyasadeva put this in here? This is to glorify his devotee. This is what the reciprocation of the Lord and his devotees we can see in this juncture. Although Bali Maharaj was actually more powerful than Indra. Actually, he was supposed to be the Indra in the next Manvantara anyways. But he had one problem. Bali Maharaj had one defect. What is that one defect? He is a real estate guy. He wanted more real estate. Property jaldi bana lenge. So he wanted to expand very quickly. He wanted to go beyond his time and say, anyways, I'm going to become Indra next life. Let me go and, you know, buy the property now only and get rid of that guy now only. So he went and defeated Indradeva and sat there. But that is what was his mistake. He said, okay, you are powerful, but you should not jump ahead of time, because Krishna says, I am time. So therefore, I will correct you wherever I have to correct you. But at the same time, I will glorify you. So this is the arrangement that the Lord has put this to say, even the subterranean heavenly planets, although it is in one sense lower to the demigods, it is still glorious because here also my devotees reside. What's interesting is, if we go to Kerala, basically many people worship Bali Maharaj there. But many people do not know that he is a devotee of the Lord. They worship him. They worship him, but I spoke to a few devotees and they were saying, they actually worship Bali Maharaj, but they think the devatas cheated him. So they are against the devatas. So they think like that. Literally they think like that. They don't think Bali Maharaj is the devotee of the Lord. They think Bali Maharaj was cheated. He is our king, but we have to take revenge. There's still that, you know. So the Asuric tendencies are still prevalent in certain sections of the society. But nowhere this sublime message is preached that even in the Bilaswarga, in the subterranean heavenly planets, there is a devotee who gave away everything. And that is what the Lord arranged to glorify this devotee. This whole arrangement, we see that the Lord is actually criticizing Bali Maharaj or pushing him to the lower planet. But no, actually he's been glorified. That here is a devotee who gave away everything. Therefore, he's a Mahajan. He's an Acharya of Atma Nivedana. Otherwise, he would not have been revered as one of the Mahajans. And this is only because the Lord actually comes to enact all of this to increase. And this we also see in Vritrasura pastimes. When Vritrasura was an Asura, he tells Indra that... what is that verse? Aham hare tava padaika mula dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyah. So he's saying, I am the servant of the servant Indradev. You go ahead and kill me. I'm fine. We are enacting this pastime. So I'm always indebted to the Lord. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyah. So like that, the Lord reciprocates with the devotee and he's always anxious to serve the devotee. And in this case, he's come to purify Bali Maharaj. So now, I was actually reading and trying to understand this verse. Gopi bhartuhu pada kamalayor dasa dasanu dasaha. This verse, Prabhupada actually uses almost everywhere in his purports, wherever there is a mention of servant of the servant. In fact, Bali Maharaj said, Prahlad Maharaj said that I want to serve, I don't want your, see for example, the Lord is giving Prahlad Maharaj something. The Lord is saying, okay, you take mukti, you take, get liberated, you take this material opulence. Prahlad Maharaj says, no. The one may think, how can you reject the mercy of the Lord? So the devotee is intelligent also, what to reject from the Lord and what to accept. It's quite interesting because material wealth coming from the Lord is not his mercy. Prahlad Maharaj knows this. So therefore, he rejected something coming from the Lord. It's quite interesting. And that's why Dhruva Maharaj also laments once he asks, And then once he prays for the Lord and then the Lord says, I'll give you the planet, then he says, I should not have asked you for material opulence. Maam nijabhratya parshavam. That is what the verse is. That's what Bali Maharaj is saying. That he asked for engagement in the service of his servant. Prahlad Maharaj prayers in 7.9.24. Prahlad Maharaj says, please engage me always in the service of your devotee. The word madbhaktya pujabhita, puja abhya adhika is significant. In this verse, Prabhupada writes, abhyadhika means superior quality. Many places Prabhupada writes, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, more than the worship of the Lord, the worship of his devotee is even more glorious. It's quite interesting, this concept. And this concept was actually preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why our paddhati, our sampradaya is actually dasa paddhati. That is why we have dasa next to our names. Even, we sometimes say Krishna becomes mad after Radharani. Radharani is making Krishna dance on her tunes. All this is good. But from a rasa perspective, Krishna is still the master and Radharani is still the servant. The servant and the served. That principle is the same, the tattva is the same. Everybody is servant of Krishna. And we follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. You see Rupa Goswami, who is the Rupamanjari, and then who serves Radharani. And they're all servant of the servant of the servant. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, when he says, Gopi Bhartuhu Padakamalayor, he's addressing himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing himself as, I am the Dasa Dasanu Dasa. Of whom? Of not Nanda Nandanaha, of not Dwarka Desha, but of Gopi Bhartuhu. Bhartu means one who maintains whom? Gopis. Not the Gopas also, but the Gopis. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we have to be servant of the servant of the servant of the Gopis. So therefore, in one sense, our sampradaya is actually the Gopis. In one sense, we are serving the Gopis only. Not even the Gopas in that sense. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I am the servant of the maintainer of the Gopis. And this pervades in our whole sampradaya. And one may think, first of all, this verse Gopi Bhava. This Gopi Bhava is superior to Varnashrama. Because if you read this verse, the whole verse, I don't have the whole verse with me. This whole verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I am not a Shudra, I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Vipra, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Kshatriya, I am just a servant of the servant of the servant of the Gopi Bhartu. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this verse. So on one side is the Varnashrama, on the other side is the Gopi Bhav, that is the servant of the servant of the maintenance of the Gopis. So what does it mean to become a servant of the servant? Does it mean that I don't do direct service of Krishna and Radha? Does it mean that I am always somewhere without sight? No, that doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that one is bereft of the personal service of the Lord. What it means is, when I take and accept a spiritual master, when I accept my spiritual master, who is the servitor of the Lord, I am serving the spiritual master and the spiritual master is serving the Lord. And sometimes the spiritual master may give me direct service of the Lord, like just like we go into the altar and do the service. But even when we are doing the service of the Lord, the dasatva is still there. So therefore we put the photo of the spiritual master there on the altar. To say, I am worshipping you, my Lord, but I am worshipping you as a servant of my spiritual master, not as a servant of you. So this concept is very intrinsic in our sampradaya. So when I am maybe massaging the feet of Radharani or Gopi or Krishna, I am always there. Next to me is my spiritual master, looking at me, how you are doing the service. So therefore the photo is always there. After I complete the service, the last person to go off the altar is my spiritual master. I go, put the spiritual master to rest and then I go out. So therefore, this concept of taking the shelter of a devotee is very important. Which is the crux in all sampradaya, in all Vaishnava sampradayas, this is there, the spiritual master. And why? Because, and this is very scientific also, because bhakti is not a realm of this existence. You know, we are tatastha shaktis. We have, what are the three shaktis? Antaranga shakti, tatastha shakti, bahiranga shakti. Tatastha shakti means we are neither here nor there. We are in the middle ground, you know. You have this Matrix movie, you know. In that movie, he is stuck in a loop, train loop. Like just like a Melbourne underground loop. It's a loop. So tatastha shakti means he can either go here or either there. Bhakti is a complete realm of Antaranga Shakti of the Lord. It doesn't belong to either Tatastha or Bahiranga. So how can a Tatastha Shakti have access to Bhakti Shakti? We cannot access Bhakti Shakti. It's a different realm altogether. So we can only access Bhakti Shakti through a person who has access to Bhakti Shakti. So therefore that person is spiritual master. So I cannot go and say, I want Bhakti Shakti. I cannot, because I am a Tatastha Shakti. My constitutional position does not allow me to access Bhakti Shakti. It has to be accessed, that's what Bhakti is awarded. It does not attain. So therefore my sadhana, it's quite interesting because we have sadhana bhakti and raga bhakti. Well, Vaidhi bhakti has two, both are Vaidhi bhakti, but one is sadhana. Sadhana marga will not give me prema directly. That is the important thing. I cannot achieve prema by my sadhana. I can only achieve one thing. So there are two tattvas you have to understand. One is ashraya tattva, one is vishaya tattva. Vishaya is Krishna. Krishna is the object of our meditation. But who is the shelter we take? Who is the ashraya tattva here? It's the guru. Without taking the guru's ashraya, I cannot meditate on the vishaya tattva, which is Krishna. So therefore, our sadhana is actually perfection of the instructions given by my spiritual master. When I perfect it, bhakti is given by my spiritual master's diksha. Okay, you are now eligible to take to worship Krishna. So therefore, he gives us bhakti, because bhakti shakti is not within us in one sense. Yes, in one sense we say bhakti shakti will naturally, you know, sun rises from our heart, but that sun rising is actually an award from persons who have access to the antaranga shakti of the Lord, not by mundane jivas, not by mundane tatastha shaktis. So in this way, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this tattva that we have to always be serving the devotees and devotee. And the lower in the rank, that's better, because the concept of humility is entrenched in us. So therefore, Gopi Bhartuhu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. This type of indirect method was preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not to approach the Lord directly, but always go through the devotees. Always go through your spiritual master. That is why the first anga of the 64 angas of bhakti is Guru Padashraya. One who has not come to the path of Guru Padashraya, he's actually not started his devotional service. One who has not committed his life for a spiritual master, he has not begun his devotional service yet. He is actually doing devotional service to come to the point of Guru Padashraya. Because only when we come to the Guru Padashraya, then the Guru bestows the bhakti. Otherwise, actually, that is why it's beautiful. This science of bhakti is so beautiful. Why did Rupa Goswami put Guru Padashraya as the first principle? Why not the 60th principle? Because without taking the shelter of a spiritual master, one cannot proceed into the next anga of bhakti. They cannot. So that is why that is the first, and that is what we do in the Bhakti Vriksha programs, that we have to come to the first point of taking Guru Padashraya. And that's why we take ashraya of Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada ashraya is first. That's the first step we take, actually, when we take the to bhakti. And there is a beautiful story. I'll maybe tell the story. I don't know if you've heard the story of South India. There were five disciples of Ramanujacharya in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. One of the disciples was Yamunacharya's five disciples. One of the disciples' name was Kanchipurna. I don't know if you know him. Kanchipurna was a very, very exalted devotee of the Lord. He was so exalted that he could speak with the Lord directly. Lord used to come and discuss with him. So he used to do chamar seva of the Lord. And the Lord and they used to have discussions. Chai, pani, nashta, sab, you know. Every day these discussions used to happen. And so much so that it became a word of mouth in the whole town, that they knew that Kanchipurna can speak to the Lord. So then people used to put applications. Please, can you ask today, will the Lord show me mercy? And then Kanchipurna used to go and say, Vasudeva Datta has asked this question, will he get this? And the Lord used to respond, and then he used to go and tell to the Lord. One day, one person asked a question. I have one small question. Please ask the Lord, will I get mukti or not? Please ask him. And Kanchipurna went and asked. After asking, the desire started coming into Kanchipurna. Now, so far he was thinking, I am already speaking to the Lord. But now because the person asked, then he realized, actually I am also in this material body. I also have to die one day. So will I also get liberation or not? So he had this katurta, you know, anxiety. Will I ask? Shall I ask or not ask? Shall I ask to the Lord or not ask? But the Lord knows. He's a super soul within everyone. Kshetra, kshetra, gnayor. So then the Lord says, this seems to be something troubling in your heart. What is that? You want to ask me? Then the Kanchipurna says, no, my dear Lord, I don't have anything. I'm always happy in your service. Then the Lord says, no, I know you're struggling something in your heart. Please speak out. Lord, you know, by any chance will I be liberated in this life? The Lord says, you're a very nice devotee, Kanchipurna. I really love you, but you will not be liberated in this life. Now that was a big shock for Kanchipurna. He thought, I am here serving the Lord. Lord is speaking to me, but when I die, I will not go back home to God. I have to take another body. Then he says, then he was shivering and with folded palms, he falls to the feet of the Lord and says, my dear Lord, please tell me what mistake I did. Why cannot I get liberated? Then the Lord says, you have been very serious in my service, but one thing you lack. What is that? You have not served my devotees. You have served me, but you have not served my devotees. So immediately, he was shocked to hear this. The chamar that he was holding, he just drops it and he runs out of the temple and he starts asking, please give me some menial service. I'll wash your clothes. I'll wash your bartan. I'll wash your vessels. Please give me some seva. And now everybody knows this person is serving the Lord directly. Everybody knows he speaks to the Lord. The moment he says like that, they will fall at his feet. Please don't give us sins now. You come and wash our clothes. Why should we take many births? Please leave us alone. And they go. So then nobody gives him service because they know he's an exalted personality. So then he thinks, so what will I do? There is no hope now. So then he says, same concept, no? Vamandev's concept, deceit. No. The devotees are good at it. So he dresses himself as a cowherd boy. And he enters one of his own godbrother's house. And he starts serving the cows. He doesn't speak. He acts as if he's a dumb person. And then he serves for 6 months, 8 months, and the person starts developing love towards this guy, the boy. Says he calls him, and he's elderly. He says, how sweetly you are serving my cows. I've become attracted to you. Why don't you even speak something? It's been 8 months, you have not opened your mouth. And he doesn't open his mouth. He continues to do it. Somehow the person comes to know that he is his godbrother. Immediately he says, oh my God, what a sin I have committed. That you have actually come and served me without my knowledge. This is not good. I don't know how many lifetimes I have to take to repay this particular sin that I have committed. I have made you work with me and things like that. But of course, then he goes to the Lord and he says, now my dear Lord, are you happy that I have served the devotee? And I have served with my heart. I have not done it artificially. I have served with my heart genuinely. Then the Lord says, yes, now you have become eligible. So this story actually, in the Madhya Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also says, Mahat Kripa Vina Kono Karme Bhakti Naya Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahu Samsara Nahe Kshaya. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna Bhakti, one cannot be even relieved from the bondage of material existence. Can you imagine the weight of this verse? Without serving a devotee, one cannot even get free from the material bondage. What to talk of Krishna Bhakti? Chaitanya Charitamrita. And even Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam purport, he quotes Narottam Das Thakur, Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payecha Keba, which means that unless one serves Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, one cannot get liberations from the material clutches. Therefore, summarizing, we see here, Bali Maharaj was saved because he followed the instructions of his grandfather, who was a devotee of the Lord. And because he was a devotee of the Lord, Lord could not kill him or defeat him in that sense. So he was protected by the Lord's devotion service. Therefore, bhakti and bhaktiman. Bhakti is in one sense higher, and therefore, aham bhakta paradhina. So the Lord is subservient to the devotees in that sense. And therefore, we know how the Lord goes to Rasatala and serves Bali Maharaj. So this paraspar sambandh is there between the Lord and his devotees. The Lord is also anxious to serve the devotees. The devotees are also anxious to serve the Lord. So this paraspar sambandh continues eternally between the devotee and the Lord. And to depict this is why in the fifth canto, this particular episode is kind of drawn from the eighth canto and put here in the fifth canto so that it doesn't get too boring. And we also relish the pastime between the Lord and Vamandev. Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. So with this, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. there any questions or comments or corrections?
Bali Maharaj did demonic activities other than he speaking. Very nice class. Very nice class. Very nice class. Regarding Bali Maharaj demonic activities other than
Bali Maharaj was a king. See, actually, after Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj doesn't become the king. Virochana is not interested. Actually, after Hiranyakashipu, Bali Maharaj is the king. That's why there is family tradition. In Asuras, the family tradition is go and defeat Suras. So, even in the heavenly plan, it's a Lord's arrangement if you really see. The Suras also should not get puffed up. In the material world, there is always klesha. There is always miseries. Even in the heavenly planets, there will be miseries. And the miseries, the persons who cause misery is the Asura. So Bali Maharaj is just enacting that particular family tradition to cause problem to the Suras. But with always that consciousness that I am a servant of the Lord. And same with Prithrasura also. So they are aware that I am a servant, but I will continue to do my vritti, which is to cause trouble to the Suras. So it was in one sense not right from a perspective of balance of the ecosystem, ecology of Sura and Asura. But at the other side, he also has to execute the Lord's arrangement that the Suras also should have this Adihautika klesha, which is a misery that the Asuras should have to impose upon the Suras. First thing. Second thing, we also have to understand that Bali Maharaj is the representative of a particular clan of people, which are the Asuras. Although Bali Maharaj is a devotee, not all his followers might be devotees. So to keep them in a certain arena, he has to act as a Maharaj, like just like Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva acts as Smashanavasi and his followers are Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha. Although not all of them may be devotees, Lord Shiva is a devotee. So he gives shelter to such jivas. So in the same way, Bali Maharaj also gives shelter to such jivas in the Rasatala planets. So therefore, the Lord puts his agents everywhere. Like for example, Yamraj. Yamraj is further down actually. So imagine the type of Krishna Katha he is doing there. Every day he has to judge people. You are sinful, you are good, you are pious, you are impious, you send him to hell. He's actually sending jivas to hell. So he's actually in a very difficult position, Yamraj. And that is a seva to the Lord. To punish someone is a seva to the Lord. So in the same way, to go and wage war against the devatas is one of the seva to the Lord. Bali Maharaj seva to the Lord, to cause problems to Indra, to teach them a lesson. But they do it as a part of Dasanu Dasa mentality. And that's what Prithrasura did when he was fighting. Supater gunam stegrinita vak karma karotu kaya. So he's always meditating on Supate, the Supreme Lord, even though he's fighting as an Asura against Indra. So yes, it is demoniac, but he was not demoniac. But he's upkeeping the principles of, just to upkeep the arrangement of the Supreme Lord in the cosmos. That's how I understood it, Prabhuji. I might be wrong. But maybe some senior devotees can elucidate further.
Thank you,
Prabhupada.
And about serving the devotees.
Yes.
You know, that's my favorite, which I listened to, Acharya Dharma Parichaya.
Yes.
That's a beautiful one, actually.
Yes, we should recite it. Thank you.
Acharya Dharma Parichaya Vishnu Vicharya Tirthani Vicharya Veda Vinana Gaura Kripada Seva. That's a thing that a translation says that which I learned from Pandit Ji Sharma, he taught me this sloka. This is the glories of a devotee, glories of Gaurava devotees. And he said that you might be knowing all the Vedas, Dharmas, doing all beautiful worships, deity worships, but if you don't serve the devotees, that means you might get liberated, Vaikuntha, but you won't get the Krishna Prema. That's a translation by
you.
This is from Chaitanya Chandra. Beautiful sloka by Krishna Prema, 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Prabhupada. Yeah, this has always been glorified that one has to serve the devotees to attain Krishna Bhakti. Thank you, Prabhupada. We'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anand Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari.